Good Thursday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the Mid-Morning Commodity Market Report. A quick programming announcement: today is a USDA reporting day. We'll have special coverage of the reports this afternoon at 12:39 Central Time. Joining us will be Dan Zwicker, CGB Enterprises, out of Mandeville, Louisiana. Let's see how the markets are currently trading. Hard red winter September wheat, no bid. December at 608.5 is down 7. Soft September, 518.25 down a half. December, 513 down 6.75. September corn, 334.25 down 4.5. December, 342 down 3.75. July, 370.25 down 3.75. September at 10.50 is down 21. November 9.88, now 88.25, now 88 and 88.25, going back and forth, but it's down 5.5. July 10.12.25 down 6.25. September soybean meal, $4.23 down $19.80. September soybean oil, $31.63 up a nickel. October live cattle, 157.37.5 down 232.5. September feeders, 227.15 down 170. October lean hogs, 106.70, and they are down 40. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Dan Zwicker of CGB Enterprises, and he is in Mandeville, Louisiana. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, Dave.
Well, ahead of the reports coming up in about an hour and 10 minutes, we have corn and beans making new lows for their moves today.
And that's not surprising. I mean, this is the time that your high-frequency traders, day trader types that are trading 5-second charts, 10-second charts, or 5-minute charts, whatever they're looking at, and they're just trading them from a technical perspective, and they're able to kind of move the market around, and the path of least resistance at this time of year is down. That's what we're seeing. Most of your position traders, whether they're day traders or long-term traders, are, you know, they have their position in place. The bets are on. Most of them probably have any super big positions probably covered. If it's over in the fund side of the crowd or the speculative side of the crowd with a put or a call, depending upon what they're playing. And this has kind of been the norm ever since we started releasing reports during the session that your longer-term traders get pretty well squared up the day before, and then the day traders take over for a few hours until the release of the report. And then some of them try to capture the volatility that usually occurs after the report. I'm not sure we're going to have much volatility. I'm not too sure USDA is going to reveal anything that the trade doesn't already know. If anything, the trade will view it as solidifying or confirming what they think is out there, and that is a big crop with some very big yields. So we've been talking about a big crop and big yields for the last 2 weeks, most of that should be in the market, but you never know until you see what USDA publishes, and we'll kind of go from there.
It's been very wet in the last month. And I seem to recall a year, was it four or five or six, somewhere in there, where everybody had their bets on a bigger crop, and USDA actually came out with a smaller number.
Well, and that could very well be. I mean, that was the case during the month of August, and it did generate a 2 to 3 day pop. And depending upon what USDA comes out with, it may do that. Most in the trade, if USDA, I think, would come in on the low side of the range, would probably poo-poo it, not necessarily believe it, you know, but it is what it is until the next report. But the general mentality of the trade here is that big crops get bigger. So they're expecting to see larger numbers on this report and then larger numbers on the October report and larger numbers on the November report. But that's just the way the trade plays the trend. Once a trend develops, they play that trend until it breaks. And then once it breaks, then they have to reevaluate what kind of position they want to take in the marketplace. But right at the moment, with the early yield reports that we're hearing, the bear seems to be pretty comfortable that the supplies are going to be very adequate. Now, one thing I would want to mention, my guess, and I'm just guessing, if I was a farmer and I was getting ready to go to the field, I'd probably go to the best field, I think, to see how big BIC is. Mm-hmm. You know, just the anxiety of, so I think, you know, this early harvest is definitely the best fields of each farmer. That would be my guess, because they wanted to get in there and see, you know, how good it really is. They've been watching it grow all year. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we are hearing, I think, the best of the best, and maybe as harvest goes on, maybe some of this fluffy yield stuff that we're hearing early may come down a little bit, and the crop may not be quite as big as what the trade's talking right now.
And then whatever gets delivered by USDA today tees up Monday with the FSA numbers.
Yes, and I think that's going to be an important number. Like you and I were talking the other day, that most of that data was fairly complete, mm-hmm. so there shouldn't be any big movement in it. But the trade does expect some movement toward USDA's acreage estimates. But if it's as complete as what we were talking about, there shouldn't be much movement at all. And I think then that tees up then for downward adjustments in acreage in the October report. So depending upon what USDA gives us on yield, we may end up seeing the largest production number, because I do think there's room for significant changes. I haven't believed USDA's acreage numbers since they were released, but, you know, you have to live with them. They are what they are until they're changed. Because I think last year's corn acres are way overstated, and I think that explains one of the reasons why our first quarter disappearance level is off the charts. I do know we pushed a lot of the stuff backwards into ethanol plants, but that doesn't explain all of it. And I think USDA's got this year's acres wrong, too. I think they're much smaller, and we'll see how those acreage adjustments work as they go toward the January final.
While the declines have been relatively steep, they've also been orderly. There hasn't been anything like a blow-off sell at this point. Is it possible that we will see one at some point?
Well, we could. I mean, that's usually how tops and bottoms are made in the market, is kind of a panic event that causes panic, whether it's severe short covering at the top, you know, if we've been in a dry weather market and there's no rain in sight and everybody bails, and so the market loses its buying power. The one making a bottom here would be, you know, a USDA crop report similar to what FC Stone gave us. If they would go that high, I think that would be a panic type situation that would probably spike the market down. I don't think farmers would sell into it, so I think it would bounce right back up again, but then that would probably begin the start of a sideways market, which I think is going to be the first step that we go into. The only question is where does this sideways market begin? Mm-hmm. And how wide is the range going to be for the next 2 or 3 months?
Thank you, Dan.
Very well.
Dan Zwicker of CGB Enterprises, and he is in Mandeville, Louisiana. He'll be back again this afternoon at 2:39 Central Time to discuss the reaction of the market to this morning's release of crop production and WASDE numbers. December corn at 341 and three quarters is down 4, and November soybeans are 987 and three quarters. They're down 6. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It's now 10 o'clock Central Time.